Ladies and gentlemen, the World Wide Web proudly presents... Recorded live in Chicagoland, USA.
Nonsense!
That's where you're wrong. This is nonsense.
A new episode of the podcast, Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport. With your hosts, Luke Ski and Carrie Dalby.
This is Carrie.
And this is Luke.
And you're listening to Luke
and Carrie's Bad Rapport, episode 95.
And it is...
still November 22nd.
Still November 22nd on Friday.
Yep.
2013.
But it's, you know,
being posted. 2 weeks later.
Yeah.
Ish.
Yes. So, and, you know, 95 is the number on Lightning McQueen's car because that was the year Toy Story was released. Trivia.
Yes.
Anyway, so, at this point, I guess we could go into, well, why don't we start off with an ignorance story?
Okay.
Because it's fairly short. I was doing a caricature of... some fairly young teens girl is getting drawn because her and her mother saw in my book the cheerleader body and it's like, oh, well, she's really into the pom-pom squad. And like they're pointing at the cheerleader pictures. Like, can you draw her like this so she's on the pom-pom squad? And I'm like, sure. So I start drawing her and I draw her, you know, looking basically exactly like the cheerleader drawing. For the most part, you know, I always kind of age them down to be more age appropriate. But, and then I write her name, and then above her name, because I usually, if it's like, you know, if somebody's playing, or if somebody's, you know, being drawn as a Ghostbuster and their name is, you know, Fred, I'll put Ghostbuster above it so it says Ghostbuster Fred. So, like, I'm describing who or what they are with their name. So I draw the girl's name. Let's say it's, you know, Franny. So I write Franny, and above that, I write Cheer Squad, so that it says Cheer Squad Franny.
Yeah.
And then...
It was supposed to be Pom-Pom Squad.
And that's when the mom says, could you erase the cheer part? She really hates that. You know, it's supposed to be a pom-pom thing. And it's like, this is the kind of specific information you're supposed to tell me before I start, that there's a distinct difference between a pom-pom squad and cheerleaders, and that, you know,
you're so ignorant, Luke.
This
ignorance story is about you, not about that mom. Come on.
So, you know.
Duh.
So basically, I had to invent a black stripe across the entire background of the picture that exists for no reason, solely for covering up where the word cheer was on one side.
Uh-huh.
You know, and I can't remember if I attempted to write anything else in its place or if I just left it with the girl's name, but that just really is like, you know, if it's that specific a distinction that you think, you know, some average person might overlook, then you need to tell somebody that specifically. So, anyway... So let's put, you know, the brief song break here, and then we'll be back with more stuff.
Ho! It's another Christmas song. Whoa! Get ready, brother, for another Christmas song. They play for a month ad infinitum. One day it struck me, someone must write them. So, it's another Christmas song. Santa Claus singing on naughty snow, reindeer ringing in the mistletoe, the manger's on fire, the holly's aglow, hear the baby Jesus crying, ho, 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 hey, it's another Christmas song. Yay, another oft-returning, royalty-earning Christmas song. I've got plenty more, so go buy a modem, log on to iTunes and pay to download them. Hey, for another Christmas song. Chestnuts glisten on a silent night, sleigh bells kissing by candlelight, the tree is frozen, the winter's bright, who'd have thunk the wise man looked so white? You, don't you wanna sing along? To my humble Yuletide, dreamed up poolside Christmas song, make it a part of your holiday canon, make it the heart of my retirement planning. Do sing another Christmas song. Beat it into a fellas. Watch my feet fly! Yeah. Wait, who's this? Young one starving on a dead-end street, taped up tabloids on their frostbit feet. Hear what they carol as they huddle for heat.
Please help and call their children eat.
Whoa!
Just another Christmas song. No, this is like no other Christmas mother loving song. Public to whom I'm so proud to have pandered. Please save my family and make this a standard. Go! Join the ever-growing throng who are singing and swinging while my kids are clinging to the hope my register's ching, ching, ching. And from the cash I'm ringing from another Christmas song.
Copyright Stephen Colbert.
Show signs of stopping, the lights are turned way down low. And we got some corn for popping, so we're gonna let it snow. Fa la 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 la, oh what a jolly sight. Fa la 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 la, Santa Claus comes tonight, so watch out, you better not pout, you better not cry. I'm telling you why, cause Saint Nick is touching down here with all his reindeer up on the roof. Jingle my bells. I will be home for Christmas. You can all count on me. Please have some mistletoe and presents around the tree. On Christmas Eve you'll find me where all the love light gleams. I will be home for Christmas, if only in my dreams. Fa la 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 la, bring on the peace and light. Fa la 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 la, the chubby man comes tonight. We wish you a slam and soul.
Christmas in Las Vegas, decorate your tree with chips. Let's roll a yo beneath the mistletoe while that angel strips. Rudolph sold the sled, now he's betting on red in a casino made out of gingerbread. Christmas in Las Vegas, it's a trip. The wise men are rolling sevens, the elves are doubling down. Light a candle and pull the handle, I love that jingling sound. Every showgirl and boy ride in a sleigh of joy, pulled by eight tiny tigers eating Siegfried and Roy. Christmas in Las Vegas, what a town. Santa brought me two aces, I wonder if I should split. Hey waitress, bring me a drink while I think. What would Jesus hit? The strip lights are all twinkling, there's no room at the inn. But because 'tis the season, they'll comp a suite for Mary at the Wynn. Christmas in Las Vegas, it's Bethlehem with bling. Let's hope the dealer brings four newborn kings, 'cause my baby needs a brand new pair of five golden rings. Christmas in Las Vegas really swings. Cha-cha-cha-ching. I said Christmas in Las Vegas really swings.
Yo, yo, yo.
You said it, Santa. Merry Christmas, everybody. Thank you. Good night.
You're listening to Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport.
I am so excited.
You're excited. Feel these nipples.
Leave comments for this episode at badrapport.com or call 916-LUKE-SKI.
And now we're back with more stuff. So how about we get to maybe some discussions on Luke's neurosis of the month. I can't remember if I talked about this in the last episode. Did I talk about how Sarah had gone to see somebody at one of the coding conferences, and he did a speech about people who suffer from either bipolar disorder or...
I believe you talked about it off the air.
Yeah. So I wanted to at least somewhat mention it on the air, just because... basically, it was basically dealing with depression and bipolar disorder and stuff. And the point of his speech was that a lot of developers suffer from it. She's watching this guy do a shortened version of his speech, which you can see online. And at one point, he kind of pulls up this bullet point thing of just a few of the cherry-picked symptoms that applied to him that made him realize that he was suffering from depression and bipolar disorder. And when she saw the bullet points and his brief descriptions of what they all meant, she basically thought like 60% of what he was talking about applied pretty directly to me. So she asked me later to watch this thing because... You know, I do go see, you know, I do get some counseling from time to time, and, you know, it just kind of, you know, made her realize that maybe there is something more up with me than there seems to have been or something. So, of the six bullet points, the first couple here, well, okay, pressured speech, I don't think that really applies to me at all. I think that just basically means, like, not necessarily stuttering, but just, you know, tripping up on your words or whatever. Social isolation, I don't think that necessarily applies to me, although I will admit I do sometimes enjoy being alone.
I haven't gotten a single moment of eye contact with you all evening.
Well, that's a problem I've had my whole life. I mean, I assume you've noticed this about me, is that
I have
always, since grade school, have had difficulty... maintaining eye contact with people I'm talking to, you know.
But I'm your BFF, so...
I know.
You know, you still look in my eyes.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's not a big thing. I'm not trying to make you feel self-conscious about it.
Well, I wouldn't want you to have you accidentally look deep into my blue eyes and then, you know, stir up emotions, you know, discussed in earlier episodes.
Always good to do a visual joke for an audio medium.
She made a funny face.
I made some bug eyes at him.
Anyway, so yeah, so but there's some times that I want to be alone. Like every so often when I get booked at some convention that's like, you know, or even like a caricature gig, you know, it's like that'll be, you know, far away and it's kind of a pain in the butt to get to. It's like sometimes I just kind of enjoy the idea of I'm going to go off and be by myself for a while and I can just listen to music and, you know, stay at a hotel room for the night and just, you know, have a quiet night to myself or whatever. So,
yeah,
I don't know. And I guess there are some social situations where I kind of feel like, yeah, I'd rather go be in my hotel room and hide, you know, for a while when I don't exactly know what to do with myself.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of like when I'm the center of the attention and it's like a big, like, hey, wackiness and funk concerts and boop-a-doo-doo. It's like, I'm totally fine with that, but when it gets in situations when I'm not the center of attention and whatever's going on isn't something I, you know, it's like sometimes I just kind of feel like, okay, I don't know what to do with myself. Meh. So,
yeah.
Anyway, moving on. Racing thoughts, which I don't know if this exactly fits in with what I would consider that to mean, but, you know, just kind of like how I can, you know, it's going back to, I think, the Disney special episode when it was you, me, and Kyle, something I was talking about, maybe the Marvel Poppin' song or something like that, and how I, and the Don Bluth reference thing, and how I was, you know, trying to shield myself from, you know, future arguments that, you know, other nerds might be having with me, and, you know, Kyle just laughed and pointed out, like, yeah, you know, Luke is the type of nerd that has to map out imaginary arguments ahead of time that may or may not ever happen.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you can't just live your life without mapping out, you know, things that may, you know, every... It's like that movie Next with Nicolas Cage, of which I'm the only person who saw it, where he could see every possible permutation of what might happen in the future.
Yeah,
it's like I have
do
to,
that too.
Yeah, it's like I have to game out...
I have lots of imaginary arguments with people.
Or just, you know, just even... Not even so much arguments, but just kind of figuring out, okay, well, if this happens, then I'm going to have to deal with this, and I have to be able to prepare for that, and, you know, it's... So that kind of racing thoughts is like sometimes something will set me off and that's all I can think about. Like a couple episodes ago when you caught me not paying attention to what you were talking about in episode 92, that was because I had just gotten an email from somebody important, you know, dealing with MarsCon, and all of a sudden all I could think about was, okay, well, now what am I going to do next? Well, now I have to do this and I have to contact this person and blah, blah, blah. So, I don't know. Next one on the list was irregular sleep, which is pretty basic. I have always been a night owl. I will stay up, you know, especially now that I don't, I've, you know, since 2005, I haven't worked a regular type job. You know, I often stay up until 2 or 3 in the morning watching shows or whatever, and then I typically get up about, you know, 10 a.m. ish, and then...
Yeah.
And then, you know,
If we ever get to the point of talking about Carrie, then I can comment on how my sleep patterns have changed, but I'll let you go on with what you're saying.
So, yeah. So, basically, you know, irregular sleep. It's like, when I get up, I do get to work on projects or stuff or things. I'm not, like, lazy. So, it's like, I work from about 10 a.m. until about 7 p.m., which is when Sarah gets home, and then we eat dinner. I spend time with Sarah. She goes to bed between 11 and midnight, and I stay up until about 2 or 3 watching TV. So... I definitely have a regular sleep. Hyper focus was the next.
If you make it sound regular, but then there's so many times when you need to get up early and come babysit or what have you.
Yeah, I just, it's hard to drag myself out of bed, you know, and even though it's something that's happening, you know, once a week now, at the same specific time, it's still very hard for me to, you know, get acclimated to it.
I'm probably screwing up your whole week just by having that one morning Weight Watchers meeting.
Well, in theory, I would like to reset my body clock and start setting it up so, like, you know, spend 2 weeks getting up at 9:30, then spend 2 weeks getting up at 9, then speak, you know, et cetera, and keep tapering it back until I'm getting up at 7:30 every morning.
It's
and,
hard to get
you know,
yourself up early if you don't have a reason to get up early every day, so I don't expect you to do that or to want to do that.
Yeah. So the next thing on the list was hyperfocus, which basically means when a person does decide, like, okay, here's a project I have to work on, you get so intensely focused on working on that project and achieving the goal of finishing that thing that everything else falls to the wayside. You know, eating meals, bathing, interacting with other humans, you know, just like, and that's...
Taking a dump.
Yeah, that well, maybe not taking a dump, but, I mean, I can't tell you the number of days when I was living on my own in Kenosha, where it would be like, okay, roll out of bed, it's whatever, 9:30, 10 in the morning. Oh, yeah, it's that project. I got to get to work on that project. And I start working on that project. And the next thing I realize, oh, why does my stomach hurt? Oh, because I'm hungry. What time is it? Oh, it's about 9 p.m. I've been working on this project constantly all day. I never stop to, like, have a full meal. And then at that point, you know, I'll have a meal, and then either continue the project until, like, you know, get too tired to stay awake, or I'll stop the project and just, you know, eat the meal, watch TV until I pass out, fall asleep, wake up the next morning, and the process starts all over. I pick up wherever I left off at the project until that project is finished. So that's hyperfocus. And the last bullet point was called grandiosity. Do I even really need to go into the concept of what grandiosity is and how that applies to me?
Maybe some of our listeners,
well,
like a refresher, I don't know.
Well, besides the whole Luke's key big ego thing that everyone's familiar with, to me, grandiosity is also just kind of about, like, I have big dreams and big ideas and big plans, and like, you know, like MarsCon last year is a perfect example of grandiosity, because we didn't just do run of the mill.
Look at the bullet point.
Where is it? Here, where it starts, cherry pick symptoms.
Okay.
So, I mean, look at last year. I didn't just do a regular old MarsCon. I did the Fumpet Show as the opening ceremony sketch. You know, there was my own concert, which, you know, had the, you know, new video aspect to it. It was technically the second year I've done it, but the first year I did it, I was sick. I didn't really get to give it the full, you know, presentation. There was the Logan Awards, which, you know, I chaired and I hosted, and then we put together the Logan medley, you know, for the front of the thing. So, you know, it was like I was basically trying to, you know, build moments and create awesomeness, you know, on this grand level, which did lead to it being, you know, arguably the greatest MarsCon ever. But, I mean, that's my whole thing. It's like, I already have ideas for FunkFest. I mean, as well as the next MarsCon. I get these things where it's like, wouldn't it be so cool if we all did this? Wouldn't it be so cool if, you know, this cool thing could happen? Or what if we all pitched together and did a thing, you know? Like, past ideas of mine that didn't happen, like the Jim Henson tribute album. Or, you know, it's like the grandiosity to me is like, you know, big ideas and big dreams and, oh, let's all make this happen. And sometimes they happen and sometimes they don't. But I still have all those big, grand ideas. And I also, you know, think grandly of myself on some levels.
I think I have most of these symptoms, too. But the big difference between me and you is that I'm on meds and you're not.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of why the whole... why Sarah thought it was interesting and you know, should talk to me. She wanted me to watch the video so that I could see what I thought of it, so that I could maybe consider looking into this stuff to see if meds would help me. Because I have to be completely honest, there are a lot of times when I'm walking around inside my own head thinking about things, and, you know, it, you know, there was a funny image I reposted on my Facebook that said, it was like some cartoon 50s image of a woman, which didn't really matter too much, but the caption was, I got 99 problems, you know, referencing, of course, the Jay-Z song, I got 99 problems with it, but a bitch ate one. But it said, I've got 99 problems, and then underneath it says, and 86 of them are things I invented in my own head and I'm making myself upset over for no reason.
Yeah, you know? I saw you had shared that shortly after I had clicked like on it. I wondered if...
Yeah.
Because it was from a mom's group.
Yeah, yeah. So it's like that's, you know, I'll walk around and be in my own head and making myself upset over stupid things, and I'll just stop and I'll think to myself, this can't be normal. This can't be...
I really think you should take meds, but I mean, you know... let me backtrack. I think you should research meds.
Mm-hmm.
I think you should talk to your doctor and try one that you've researched that you feel comfortable with. And I think, you know, you build up your dosage, you build after a certain amount of months, 3 or 4 months, and you don't like the side effects, or if you don't like the changes, or Sarah doesn't like the changes, then you start weaning back off it. I mean, there's nothing that says you're going to take it forever.
Yeah.
And if you want to take it, you should take it.
Well,
I've got to take it every day.
I've made the first steps of talking to my physician and talking to the counselor I've been seeing from time to time, and getting some information on, you know, tests I can take and you know, making things happen. I just suddenly had to put that off because a whole bunch of stuff fell on my lap that I had to work on.
Yeah.
So I do intend to get to work on that. But
as for me, I'm planning to wean off my meds come spring, because I haven't cried in over a year about anything ever, and that's a little weird. So I think maybe it's, you know, I don't want to quit now when the weather's starting to get extra depressing, but I think, you know, in spring, it's when things start getting nicer, it's going to be time to start getting off of that shit so I can have a larger range of emotions again. But I mean, you know, I've been on meds for years and years and years and years, and this is the first time I've had that particular problem, so that doesn't mean you're going to have that problem, you know.
Well, you know, it's just kind of, I can't help but look at, you know, my peers or my brothers, you know, and I see, you know, like, they have lives and jobs and families and you know, just, you know, I think about the way I operate in my own head on a day-to-day basis, and I just think to myself, this cannot be normal. My other friends seem to have their shit together so well, and they don't let dumb things upset them. And I'm assuming they also don't invent dumb things in their own head to upset them. For what purpose? No, there is no purpose, you know? So.
Hey, I just want to say, you may not be normal, but I love you for who you are, okay?
Well, okay. Well,
I don't want you to think that, you know, I'm all God, Luke, he's so weird.
So, you know.
If you don't take meds, you know, I'll still be your BFF. If you take meds...
Well, the concern with meds is, you look at me. I'm Mr. Teetotaler, won't drink, won't do any type of drugs at all, you know. And
that's technically a drug.
You know, basically... regular old medicine I have no problem with, but the notion of, you know, taking mind or body altering substances has always freaked me out, and taking something that could, you know, mess with my brain chemistry does freak me out, and I wouldn't be considering looking into it. You know, I'm not taking it lightly. This isn't like, just go get some meds.
You would feel an improvement if you had a drastically different diet. You have what they call the SAD, Standard American Diet,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of, you know, your diet and lifestyle is affecting your mood also, but that's only just one chunk of it. I mean, there's people who eat the same diet who don't have the same neuroses, so.
Yeah. So, you know, it's something I'm, to kind of finish it off, I'm almost 40, and, you know, I'm glad Sarah saw this guy, which led to, you know, me looking into this stuff, because if I do have some kind of thing that's been undiagnosed for several years, I want to get it diagnosed so that I don't spend the next 40 years making Sarah and everyone else in my life completely miserable with my neurotic bullshit.
Don't make your friends and loved ones miserable.
But inside my own
head,
I think I do.
You're a little bit high maintenance, but then again, you know, so am I. So, I think we're both pretty high maintenance. I mean, you need to stop thinking of yourself as a burden.
And I'll wrap up this segment by making the following statement to all of you listeners out there. Some of you are close friends of mine. Some of you are people I don't know at all, as in... one of the new artists that posted on the Fump recently, the group name is Redbox and the Chili Peppers. He said that he's listened to Bad Rapport, you know, in the past. Like, he doesn't remember how he found us, but, you know, he said that he's been a fan of me and Devils for a long time, and he used to listen to Bad Rapport, but he hadn't listened to it in the past year or so. So he was gonna resubscribe. So Redbox and the Chili Peppers,
cool.
You know, if you're listening to this episode, hello, thank you for resubscribing. So anyway, the point is, you know, no matter who you are listening to this podcast, and I interact with you online, sometimes in face-to-face if we're at a con or whatever, if I ever do anything to hurt your feelings or offend you or, you know, piss you off, you know, please, you know, come to me and say, hey, you know, that kind of hurt my feelings. That was a little out of line, because I would like to be, you know, I would like to be given the chance to apologize with you and make it right. Because even if you're not a super close friend of mine, the fact that you take the time to listen to this show, you know, means that you care enough about me and Carrie to, you know, peek in on our lives and all that stuff. And, you know, if you're listening to our songs and everything, you know, that's cool. I mean, you know,
if you're listening to this and Luke recently pissed you off, this might be his way of saying he's feeling very sorry.
Well, you know, people I've pissed off personally, I've directly told that I'm sorry, but I just felt it was a good moment to mention, as a general rule out there, you know, I like to think of myself as being not a jerk.
You're very kind.
You know, and when
you're so kind, as I would say to Alec.
Do I get a toy now? Do I get a car to play with?
No, you get a high five.
High five.
Give me high five.
High five.
Give me high five.
So, yeah, I mean,
that's,
you know,
that's Alex's favorite thing to do now is to earn high fives.
So, you know, I try very hard to not be a dick and to not hurt people's feelings. That being said, you know, I am in the realm of comedy, and sometimes, you know, we throw insults around, especially amongst my closer friends at the FUMP, you know, like, you know, blah, blah, what the hell, shut up, Ian, what the fuck, okay, you know, it's like, we can throw insults around at each other because we know each other so well, and because, you know, we know that we don't really mean it, and we're not trying to hurt each other's feelings, so.
And if sometimes we do hurt each other's feelings,
yeah.
But, you know, that's
so,
life,
yeah.
we're all humans.
So, yeah, so, you know, I just wanted to mention that, because... I don't like feeling crappy because you know, someone, you know,
basically it ruins Luke's entire month if he thinks he, you know, pissed someone off for 15 minutes. So
yeah, that about sums it up.
Slight exaggeration, but not much.
Okay. Well, why don't we put a break here, and then we'll be back with comments on episode 93, the big 10th year, 10-year episode special. Yay.
Ow.
Okay, kids, settle down. It's story time.
I said settle down!
That's better. 'Twas the night before Pope's Day, and all through the goat, the croutons were twirling like tits on a boat. The scarves of young bellhops were basted in phlegm in the hopes that Tom Brokaw would grow on a stem. The milkman was throbbing and glaring at clamps, while erstwhile gophers molested his lamps. And I and my carrot that made me lick spheres were spanking a nun underwater at Sears. When out in the beef hole a Frenchman was squirted, and clanged with such force that my nipples inverted. With ponies and catheters chained to my nose, I neutered a biscuit and swallowed my clothes. The clams and my waitress demanded more towels, as poodle-clad jockeys read porn scripts to owls. And there, on the perfectly boneless horizon, a vomiting duck made me switch to Verizon. The voice of my thermostat cut through the night like a fat Presbyterian licking a kite. It promised me hampers of mayonnaise and sorrow, and belched like a barnacle baptized by Charo. On Kiwis, on forklifts, on poultry and nipples, on youpers, on poopers, on commies and cripples, to the nostril of glee, to the concubine planet, now Marmaduke, 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 damn it! As elk-flavored media gargled in pain like a murderous thermos of pork in the rain, then the constable pudding that lived in my basement birthed forth manifestos on bovine replacement. And then, like the screech of a bucket of toast, when a rectal kaleidoscope comes in the post, a warm feathered hat made of anger and meat threw a cat through my face and glued fame to my feet. The porcelain lullabies bled through the cheese as fiberglass embryos marched by in threes. Gelatinous oven mitts nibbled my back like toenails and mayonnaise mixed in a sack. Bouquets of gay trapezoids buttered a cup while Spaniards and circuitry bred in a mop. And a thunderous anthem of blackheads in June destroyed mice with a Q-tip that pooped in your spoon. As pompadour polishers piddled a prayer and sodomy nuggets sewed poems to a bear, electric aristocrats rendered in fleece all the vestibule wrestling pogo police. With a cuddly anvil held tight to my butt, I deflated a taco and called it a slut. The Parmesan poodle clot puckered in pain, like a puddle-clad henwife ingesting a train. Testicular tomahawks burned through the beans as the omelet capacitors strangled their spleen, because spaying a turnip may tickle a tank, but the sex you can bake is the milk you can spank. A barnacle cocktail ate birds in a maze as the diaper repairman prescribed Dijonnaise. But I heard him exclaim as he gargled his arm, "I farm where I romp, and I romp where I farm." Merry Christmas.
It's kind of meta for me to write a song about writing Christmas songs, but bear with me if you could. All you need to do is start with All I Want for Christmas and then add something weird and then you should be good. I know to write this way is very formula, but the thing about formula is that it usually works. It's guaranteed success, and after hearing this, you should all follow suit, and then we'll all enjoy the perks.
All I want for Christmas
is a bag of explosive kittens.
All I want for Christmas
is a pair of living mittens.
All I want for Christmas
is a microwave noogie.
All I want for Christmas
is a big expensive cookie.
All I want for Christmas
is a bumblebee toupee.
All I want for Christmas
is a cast iron souffle.
All I want for Christmas
is a Paul F. Tompkins mask.
All I want for Christmas
is some Kool-Aid in my flask. Yeah, I know I'm totally cheating when it comes to comedy, because anyone can do this and it isn't even challenging, but I've been writing holiday songs every single year for the past 11 years, and they really can't all be jibs. Want you all to just relax, suspend your reservations that I may or may not be taking the easiest route. I'm saying unlikely words following All I Want for Christmas, and I'd like you all to please accept that that's what this song's about.
All I want for Christmas
is a razor burn parade.
All I want for Christmas
is a glass of melonade.
All I want for Christmas
is a regional dialect.
All I want for Christmas
is a lycanthrope architect.
All I want for Christmas
is a healthcare public option.
All I want for Christmas
is to have some earlobe work done.
All I want for Christmas
is an iPod taste.
All I want for Christmas
is the entire Carinian race. I know I'm gonna get hammered by you armchair critics, but remember that's ignoring the entire spirit of Christmas. If you can't let yourself enjoy some stupid white boy rhymes, then I feel bad for you that you're too smart to have a good time. Life is full of stress and stress, so let this be an exception. Laugh at my goofy words instead of typing a rejection. Have a happy holiday from TV's Kyle to you. While on your way to Grandma's house, you should make up a few.
All I want for Christmas
is the Alvin show on Blu-ray.
All I want for Christmas
is my very own Captain Janeway.
All I want for Christmas
is a polyester lotus tree.
All I want for Christmas
is for Paul and Storm to notice me.
All I want for Christmas
is a roadkill hoagie.
All I want for Christmas
is a vintage floobie.
All I want for Christmas
is a year of good hair days.
All I want for Christmas
is some radio airplay.
Prime, where we're working in a mine for our protectors. Merry Christmas from Chiron Beta Prime.
You're listening to Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport.
Why don't we step outside and settle this like men?
We are outside.
Why don't we step inside and settle this like women?
Leave comments for this episode at badrapport.com or call 916-LUKE-SKI.
All right, so, how about this? Can you think of a movie, what's one of your favorite movies from growing up that maybe isn't a really well-known movie that everybody knows about?
The one, not the watch, the one Disney one, not Watcher in the Woods, but the other one. The one that only I had seen.
Escape from Witch Mountain?
Yeah.
Okay.
Here we go.
So?
Let's pick that one, because that's the only one I can think of that's not very known.
All right, well then talk about it. Right now.
There's a part where she spells the word Nerik in the fog. N-E-R-A-K. She does this hypnotically, and it's really because there is a ghost named Karen who is speaking to her and having her spell the word Karen backwards for some reason. And I got a little stuffed seal at the Minnesota Zoo, and I named it Nerik. And that's all I remember. Why?
Well, just so that we have something to talk about.
Okay.
Because I have in my notes here, it's been on here for a while, our favorite movies of all time that are relatively obscure. So, I guess the one I'll pick is Zucker Brothers comedy called Brain Donors. And basically what Brain Donors was...
Now that you say of all time rather than growing up, I might say another film after you're done talking about Brain Donors.
Okay, so Brain Donors was... this movie came out, I believe, in about 1992 or so, and it was the Zucker Brothers' attempt to do a Marx Brothers style of movie. They literally pretty much, you know, took the whole plot of the Marx Brothers...
Now, remind me and pretend like I'm, you know, five, because I am. What else did the Zucker Brothers do?
Airplane, Naked Gun,
Thank you.
Top Secret, Hot Shots, all those spoof type of movies that are awesome.
And then they did Brain Donors.
Yeah, somewhere in there they did the movie Brain Donors, which came out about roughly 92-ish. What this movie was them trying to do a Marx Brothers thing. So basically, it was like the Marx Brothers formula, not necessarily trying to directly rip off the characters of Groucho and Chico and Harpo, but just trying to come up with an archetype, you know, somewhat replacement character, so that the main guy is kind of a flim-flamming womanizer who, you know, is really quick with his tongue, and then the secondary guy who has a foreign accent and, you know, is kind of, you know, a good, you know, second banana, and then a third guy who it's like Harpo was mute completely. In their version, the guy isn't completely mute. He does occasionally have lines, but for the most part, he's there to be like the physical humor guy, and he wears this overcoat that he can pull lots of weird props out of at any given moment. And the three main characters were played by I can't remember his name. He's the voice of Francesco, the race car in Cars 2.
I'll look it up.
And he's everything.
Just keep talking.
Okay. So the point is that the plot of the movie is that these three guys, through a series of, you know, wacky circumstances, find themselves...
John Turturro, exactly. Bob Nelson, Mel Smith.
Yes, John Turturro is the lead character named Roland T. Flackfizer. Who is the Groucho Marxy type of character. He's a lawyer and, you know, literally an ambulance chaser. When we first see his character, he's chasing an ambulance down the street. The secondary guy with the foreign accent was Mel Smith, a British comedian. And the third Harpo kind of guy was comedian Bob Nelson, who did some specials on HBO and, you know, was really funny. So it's the three of them being a Marx Brothers type of trio. And the lawyer... gets hired by this old the dowager kind of, I'm the head of the opera kind of lady, and, you know, to read her husband's will and stuff. And part of her husband's will said that somebody, you know, would be paid a large sum of money to run, you know, the ballet that he was a part of. So he takes over the ballet, and there's, like, you know, other bad guys trying to, you know, steal the money, and there's, like, a really, you know, jerky, you know, prima donna guy ballerina, and there's, of course, a couple of nice kids who are up-and-coming ballet people, and, you know, so basically it's a very your standard Marx Brothers movie type of plot. But the fun of the film is just seeing these three characters be so wacky and crazy and have those kind of Marx Brothers turn of phrase type of moments, and it's so man, I just want to... It's like the best way for me to illustrate how awesome this movie is would probably be just to, in one of the breaks, you know, pick a scene from the movie and just let the audio of it play back and forth, and just to see all the, you know... like at the reading of the will, you know, this one guy's like, that's utter nonsense, and Roland goes, that's where you're wrong, this is nonsense, and he points over at Bob Nelson, who immediately starts acting like a gorilla, and just, ugh.
Do you want IMDb quotes?
Sure.
Mr. Flagfire!
Oh, I'm sorry, I thought my father showed up.
Come here. Did Valori accept your offer?
I didn't know the meaning of the word no, but he had it down pretty good. You wouldn't happen to have a world-famous dancer stuffed in a drawer somewhere, would you?
As a matter of fact, I would. His name's Alan Grant. He can dance rings round Valori. He's even more talented than Gorbachev.
Gesundheit. Baryshnikov.
God bless you. Baryshnikov. He's one of the best dancers in the country. Hire him for the ballet. What do you say?
No, nay, yet. I have to find some way to sign Valori. When I do that, I'm the director of a ballet, and gentlemen, that spells cash with a capital
K.
You should go back to school.
I hated teaching. Flatfizer. I thought you were smart.
I am smart. I said no to you, didn't I?
I'm offering you two incomes. Your paycheck from the ballet company, and then when you sign Alan Grant to dance, another hefty check as part of Alan's management team.
But how do we get this past Mrs. Oglethorpe?
Relax. After she sees Alan dance, you've got nothing to worry about. Except for taxes, depletion of the ozone layer, and diseases due to any sexual contact.
That's a load off my mind.
Now, all you've got to do is convince Mrs. Oglethorpe to let Alan into the charity bazaar.
Are you kidding? I can charm the pants off of her. Now, that is a disgusting thought. Now, gentlemen, you're going to have to sneak him in.
We're going to make this legal. We need a contract.
A binding document with plenty of loopholes.
Exactly. Jacques, draw up the standard contract, would you please? Right, sign that.
This paper's blank.
I'll fill it in later.
Fair enough. You're not going to cheat me or anything?
I give you my word as a gentleman.
Well, you had me until then.
All right. 50-50 split.
Ah, now this is more like it.
What about me?
To show you no favoritism, Rocco and I will also split your salary 50-50.
Thanks.
That should keep you out of a higher income bracket. Come to think of it, that should keep you out of any income bracket.
Jacques, are you Roland T. Flagfizer? Flagfizer, that all depends. Do I owe you money? No. In a drunken stupor, did I promise to marry you? No. Then I'm your man. Laszlo is kind of one of the bad guys. Flagfizer, let's step outside and settle this like men. Laszlo, we are outside. Flagfizer, okay, let's step inside and settle this like women. Or are you afraid, Laszlo? But, oh my god, that just... Now, it's so basically, it's kind of the Lost Zucker Brothers classic, and I have it on VHS. I've heard that it's on DVD. I know I mentioned this movie sometime recently, and somebody looked it up and found out it was on DVD, so yeah. I totally gotta get that movie while it's still theoretically available on DVD. So, that's one of the Lost favorite movies of all time that's obscure that not everyone has seen. So if somehow you can find it, if it's out there on Netflix or Hulu or wherever, I highly recommend it. I love it. So,
I think I could also mention just the Pirates of Penzance. I mean, it's not super unknown, but it took about 95 years to come out on DVD, and I can't wait to see it in non-pan and scan format when I have a chance to watch it, because it's awesome. It's so awesome. I love Rex Smith and Kevin Klein as the two pirates even more than Johnny Depp and Orlando Bloom. I think they're their energy, it just, like, takes over the whole freaking screen, and then some. It's crazy awesome.
By the way, did you actually order the pirate movie when we talked about it back in the musical special?
Yeah, we have it, but, we don't have a DVD player hooked up, so
you have it, but you still haven't watched it.
I still haven't watched, insert the name of anything.
Which
ever
reminds
here.
Me, I want to borrow Red Dwarf X, because I still haven't seen the rest of it.
I've only
watched the first episode. All right.
Watch it.
Well, now it's time to get into what everyone's been waiting for. Comments about Bad Rapport Episode 93, the Luke and Carrie 10 Years Special. So I'll read the first comment. Tony Goldmark says, and you can listen to all 6,498,222,109 episodes of the award-winning podcast Tony and Carrie's Awkward Silence at our archive right here. And then he left a tiny URL, which actually links to a really weird video one of his friends made where they're making fun of Michael Jackson.
Yes.
So, anyway. And now on to the next comment from Carrie.
Okay. Brennan Harvey says, the red eye removal tool in Photoshop is your friend. You said the F word. Yay, Goofy's Kitchen is awesome. Aww. And then he said, I'd buy that album. And then he said, I don't know what he's talking about.
By the way, I should probably mention, for this particular one, because so many people left so many individual comments, I just grouped them all together.
Yeah, I was hoping you
would. So this isn't one comment. This is like 8 comments from him that Carrie is reading in a row. So.
Then he said, I just realized that Carrie appears in 2 photos where she's not wearing pink. Oh, wait, those were probably taken at the same time. Luke's got that ugly shirt on in both of them. Smiley face. Alex, I am not your father. And then he says, OMG, I haven't heard tongue-tied in ages. Listening to this podcast for 3 hours and 30 minutes was totally worth it. Oh, and learning about Luke and Carrie was fun, too. Thanks, guys. This might have been uncomfortable at times. We fans appreciate your candor. Thanks, Brennan.
All right. Next is Ken, Madman on the Loose, who says, I made the mistake of starting to listen to this episode at 10 p.m. and had to force myself to stop after 90 minutes since I knew I will need to try to get sleep. As I write this, I checked and confirmed that today, November 8th, is the 10th anniversary of the 2003 WindyCon Saturday Night performance where I first saw and talked to Carrie. Looking for pictures...
He claims he talked to me.
Yeah. Looking for pictures from the masquerade, I came across this, and then he has a link. The group did go to Buka on Saturday night of MarsCon 2004, and I have a pic of Carrie singing All That Jazz at MarsCon 05 with Luke and Jeremy Bullock watching. Another comment. Hope that worked. Note, PenguinCon 2004 was mid-April, and I can't figure out when TubiCon 2004 was, but I believe PenguinCon was first. And then he said, it didn't work. Here's the URL to the picture. And then he posts the URL to the picture he was referring to earlier. Note, TubiCon 2004 was the weekend before PenguinCon. So he figured that out. I am glad that you mentioned when the cover picture were taken, since I was unable to decipher the yellow text on the chart in the background, which Carrie's head covers the year to try to date it. So, thank you, Ken. And now...
It was a golf schedule that he was referring to
okay.
That happened to appear in the picture. Father Beast says, okay, now I'm starting to have that Grease Lightning parody about Delta Flyer running through my head. I think I'm going to have to write some lyrics to exercise this beast. Thanks, guys. I got the giggles when you started playing tongue-tied, but I was expecting for Cat to come in at the end and say this wasn't the dream he was looking for. Did you get that version from some crazy music from Red Dwarf collection or something, rather than from the show? And I haven't gotten to that part, so I haven't heard...
It's just... At some point, I got a hold of... I don't think there's anything weird about it. It's just the song... In the TV episode, the song doesn't finish. Yeah, the song doesn't finish because they cut to Cat, and he's like, oh, this isn't the dream I was looking for, and they kind of go on with the episode. So the song I have actually has the song complete all the way out to the end in the fade-out. So,
yeah.
You know...
So, you can hear the whole song. It's not fine.
So, I'm not sure... I don't remember where I got it from. I probably got that track from you, so I don't know where you got it from. Just floating around on the internet somewhere.
Yeah, long time ago.
Yeah.
Then he quotes Janeway, Mr. Paris, we've entered the Delta Flyer in a starship race. Do you feel up to piloting? Paris, just call me Starbuck. Janeway, don't be ridiculous. Starbuck is a girl's name.
So thank you, Father Beast, for comments.
Yes.
Onib says, I truly enjoyed the podcast and all the backstories, and I just wanted to say thank you to both Luke and Carrie for the frank and very honest conversations here. I know how difficult and uncomfortable it must be to let not only family and friends, but also fans and complete strangers in on the details of your personal relationships. It took a lot of bravery, but it also made for a fascinating and riveting story. So thank you both again.
I mean, I am an introvert, and I come off as shy to, you know, coworkers, for instance, when I had a job, or classmates. But, I mean, when it comes to, like, throwing things on the internet, I kind of wear my heart on my sleeve, and I really don't care who hears what or finds out what. So it wasn't that uncomfortable for me to say all the things we said in the uncut version. But I think Luke was uncomfortable. So,
well, yeah, it's basically what took me by surprise is, and it's kind of like, looking back on it now, it's like, well, of course that would have been what happened, but I guess I wasn't expecting Carrie to remember so much in so much specific detail, and, you know, that I didn't, I honestly thought we were going to get through, you know, covering the whole 10 years within, like, you know, 4 to 6 segments in one day, is what I thought was going to happen. And then it was like, by the time we got done at the first day, we had barely gotten into our history at all. And I'm like, okay, this is going to take a lot longer and be a lot more in-depth than I thought it was. So,
I mean, I was an obsessed fangirl. I charted time by, you know, when Luke last kissed me or whatever, you know. I mean, of course I remembered it in that much detail. I played it over and over again in my mind like a constant, you know, running movie. Of course I remembered it. I could not remember it. So,
well, you know, plus I didn't know how much you would have been willing to talk about it, you know, because
you apparently don't know me well enough to know that I'm like, yeah, whatever, I'll talk about whatever.
Well, yeah, but, you know,
I think it's because when this podcast first started and we were recording episode 1 and 2, we're still feeling awkward about being exes and still trying to get back into that groove of being just friends.
Well, after we broke up, there was like this seemed to be this definite, this whole like kind of putting up a wall of like, okay, we're friends now, but I'm not going to acknowledge that we were ever romantic ever again, you know, or blah, blah, blah. So I was just kind of assuming that you weren't going
to... Everyone does what they have to do to get over it, you know? Yeah. If that's what I was doing to get over it, then that's what I was doing.
So, anyway, Wildcard is next.
Wildcard says, I actually got to listen to the entire podcast in one day. You two actually dated for a lot less time than I had realized, which I addressed in the last episode. I had met both of you online in fall 2003 and in person in spring 2005. Being one of the non-Midwest friends, there were a lot of details about the time discussed here that I had only heard second or third hand, if I heard them at all before now. It has been an interesting 10 years, and I look forward to the next 10. And I believe he's one of the people that already has access to the uncensored version.
Yes.
Thank you, Wildcard.
Yes, and Michael Spence says, the anniversary podcast covered about as many days of my commute as it took you to do the actual recording. Bravi to the two of you for making it and making... Bravi to the two of you for making it, and thanks for letting us, horrid voyeurs that we are, get an insight to these years. So, thank you, Michael. And finally, we have a voice message from Blasted Bill Putt.
You're going to edit it in, aren't you?
Well, if this doesn't work, I will fix it in post so that people can hear it clearly. But basically, the main thing you need to know is that in this message, when Bill says the phrase Ed DeBevics...
Over and over and over and over.
When Bill says the phrase Ed DeBevics, the phrase he means to be saying is Buca de Beppo.
Hi, this is Blasted Bill, and I'm just listening to the 10th anniversary thing in my car of you and Carrie meeting, and you guys started talking about the Ed DeBevics at MarsCon, and we most definitely went to Ed DeBevics. You and Stephanie would not shut up about Ed DeBevics, Ed DeBevics, Ed DeBevics. So we all got to go to Ed DeBevics. And we, I remember when we were leaving Ed DeBevics, there was a huge crowd there, and we were trying to part the crowd to get out. I was in the very back of all this, and I put my hands on my then girlfriend Karen's shoulders, started doing a little chant. We're a bunch of weirdos. We're a bunch of weirdos. Conga line style. And this went instantly up the entire line. And we were doing a conga. We're a bunch of weirdos. Threw it at the building. And that got us out of the door really quickly. And we had much fun and laughter upon that. So we most definitely went to athletics in 2004. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Bill. So, if I
Bill
decide to...
Bill feels very righteous in this comment. And it is a funny story.
Yes, I totally forgot about that. I'm so glad he called in to say that. I just think it's funny that he said the name of the wrong restaurant 10 times in that message.
Oh, you were counting?
Yes. If I have the time, and maybe I will...
Bivix has not, to our knowledge, ever been in the Twin Cities area.
No. But Buca di Beppo has, so... If I had the time, I'd like to record myself saying Buca di Beppo, and then like take his comment and just badly edit in me saying Buca di Beppo every
yes.
time he says
you totally,
Bevix.
You totally should. You really should, and then put it at the end of the episode.
Yes. So perhaps that will happen.
Totally should.
Now you all know the story of Rudolph, the reindeer with the glowing red nose who led Santa's sleigh through a foggy Christmas Eve. Well, a few Christmases later, Santa was in trouble again.
Ho, ho, holy hell! The elves are on strike!
We want our shoebells tuned!
There's no time!
So Santa sent good old Rudolph out in search of a last-minute supply of toys to stock his sleigh.
Golly, where should I start looking?
Why don't you try that mysterious, foreboding island, shrouded in an ominous mist and emanating wails of abject misery? Ho, ho, ho!
Okay.
I'll call in the Oompa Loompa scabs.
So Rudolph set off, and in no time at all, that scarlet-schnozzed ruminant landed on the shore of the mysterious island. Hermit crabs scuttled along the sand wearing Burger King Pokemon balls, as seagulls choking on giggle sticks flew overhead.
Wow, what is this place?
Well, 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 we have a celebrity here. Santa must be pretty hard up to send someone like you to some place like this.
Who are you guys?
I'm Squeeze Me Bear. This is Jingle Frog, Peekaboo Clown, Hippolyta Fun, Curiosity Snail, Action Copter Happy Bird, and See-Through Loco. Damn it, Loco.
Hey, I know these toys. Weren't you all subject to recall for safety concerns?
Recall is a funny word, Rudolph. It can mean different things, good and bad.
Really?
Why, sure. The misty-eyed grown-ups recall how they'd play with lawn darts and clacker balls back in the day. Till somebody took all their cap guns away to the island of recalled toys. Recall Chicken Limbo, recall Micronauts, recall Water Wiggles and Clippity Clops. They were raided by cops, confiscated from shops to the island of recalled toys.
So, why were you recalled? Hippolyta Fun?
I have a small knob. It's a choking hazard. Know what I'm saying?
Oh, and Jingle Frog?
I have a string. Let's just say, some kids can't handle this string. Ribbit.
And why were you recalled, Curiosity Snail?
Really? You curious?
How about you, Squeeze Me Bear?
Well, I have a wire inside me that could potentially poke out. That makes me banned under the Federal Hazardous Substances Act. Do you know how hard it is getting a job with a felony on your record?
I do, but that's another story.
No injuries were ever reported for a Squeeze Me Bear, but they took me away from my owner, a little girl named Melanie. She cried until her parents bought her a puppy.
That's so sad.
I hope it ate her face.
But who would do such a thing?
Well, just at that moment, an official Chopper 9, a delightful toy recalled in 1984 due to 4 incidents of eye gouging and face lacerations, descended from the sky.
I think you're about to meet our fearless leader.
That would be me.
Oh, God, my eye!
I am called the Overprotector, and I am the caretaker of this land.
So, you brought all these toys here?
Of course I did! Someone has to think of the children! Perilous playthings, these treacherous trinkets, deceptively deadly, though you'd never think it. A child could eat it, insert it, or drink it. So think of the girls and the boys. I've gathered the dive sticks with risk of impalement, the toy trains that topple in flaming derailment.
I still don't know what curiosity snail meant.
It's the island of recall toys. You can't count on children to care for themselves. They just don't have the mental acuity. When the muse strikes, then the dumbest of tykes block their windpipes with rare ingenuity. Toy chests which double as child guillotines, plastic goo bubbles containing benzene. These nefarious knickknacks are now only seen on the island of recalled toys.
Don't listen to him, Rudolph. Most of these toys never hurt anybody.
Balderdash, we've done studies. Every toy here is potentially dangerous.
Every toy ever is potentially dangerous. A Navy SEAL learns 10 different ways to kill a man with a Nerf football.
That's different. I'm talking about toys with small parts or lead.
Small parts and lead. Small parts and lead.
Shut up!
Alrighty.
These magnetic menaces,
they're just Polly Pockets and toy phones
with cords that fit into wall sockets.
Galactica spaceships
with throat-seeking rockets.
Santa
that melts and destroys.
Okay, but look at these innocent Barbie sunglasses.
Their glitter's afloat in petroleum acids. It burns when it's swallowed, and worse when it passes.
They shouldn't be drinking their toys. Kids tend to learn from each cut, scratch, and burn, from every new toy that they try out. So just let them play. What the hell? What the hey? What's the harm?
Well, they might shoot their eye out.
Well, the kids need their presents to save Christmas Day. I've a mission to do, so I'll be on my way. 'Cause you know very well I can't fill Santa's sleigh from the island of recalled toys. Sorry, guys. Good luck. Maybe civilization will collapse and there'll be post-apocalyptic Mad Max kids to play with you or something. Bye!
Wait a minute! What's that tag say?
Nothing.
Hey! You're not a high-quality, officially licensed Rankin-Bass Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer action figurine from the Memory Lane line of Playing Mantis toys at all! You're a knockoff!
Well, I...
Where were you made? Indonesia? Mexico?
I don't have to say anything.
We have slip-and-slides here. Do you know how easy it is to use one of those as a waterboard?
Shenzhou Province, People's Republic of China.
Aha! Now let's stick that shiny painted nose of yours into this gas chromatograph spectrometer, shall we?
Uh-oh.
Oh, you're not going anywhere, mister.
Golly, whiz.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer had a slightly toxic nose, and if a child licked it, possibly they'd be exposed. All of the other reindeer have a microfiber fill. Rudolph is stuffed with phthalates, and the fumes could probably kill. FDA, CDC.
CPSC and the FTC all say, Rudolph, with your nose so vile, you will never leave this aisle.
But wait a minute. What about Santa? What about the elves? What about the toys? What about the children?
Oh, ho, ho. Screw it. They all get socks.
Coming up at 11, a Christmas Day tragedy as a young boy chokes to death on his socks. You're listening to Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport.
Dear Lillian, soon I hope to take you on a Caribbean cruise where we can hold hands on a soft summer's evening and watch that old Jamaican moon. Why that old Jamaican will be mooning us, I have no idea.
Leave comments for this episode at badrapport.com or call 916-LUKE-SKI.
What's Luke plugging now?
Well, the biggest news on the plugging front is that my Bandcamp page is finally finished and up and live and all that kind of jargon. LukeSki.bandcamp.com. I'm going to be using this as my main place of selling CDs and MP3s going forward. You can still buy them over at thegreatlukeski.com for the time being. However, as a part of this launch to help promote it, I had a big Black Friday and Cyber Monday sale, which is still going on because I wasn't sure when I was going to end it. I just knew I wanted to launch it on Black Friday and promote it a lot over the holiday weeks to come. So I don't exactly know when this is ending, but I'm at least wanted to keep it up long enough to report about it on Bad Rapport and let you guys take advantage of some of the deals while there's still time. So please go over to lukeski.bandcamp.com where the following deals are happening. All of my albums, like single CD type albums, are $7.99. That's both for the download and for the physical CD. $7.99 for single CDs. The two CD sets, that being Greatest Hits Volume 1 and the Worst Tribute Ever 2 CD set. Both of those are $11.99, as well as Luke Ski's Puppet Videos DVD Volume 1. $11.99 for that as well. Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport CDs, I totally dropped the price down to super low. You can get both 2011 and 2012 together as a set for $5.99, or you can get 2012 by itself for $2.99. You heard that right. The two CD set of 2011-2012, $5.99, or just 2012 by itself, $2.99. Let's clear these things out, people. Bad Rapport listeners, yeah, please. The bacon t-shirts, I have three of them left, and they're all size large. So if you would like to get the t-shirt that says, yes, I bought another bacon-related t-shirt, it's tasty, shut up, I've dropped that down to $6.99. So if you are size large or know someone who is size large who likes bacon, you can get them this shirt as a gift, or any of these other things that I'm talking about as gifts for whatever. Speaking of things that are awesome, the Luke Ski Phase 1 USB drive that I've been selling at my live shows is finally available for sale online at lukeski.bandcamp.com. It's $50 plus shipping, and once again, that USB drive, contains all of the content from my main album, Psycho Potpourri, Carpe Dementia, Uber Geek, Worst Album Ever, Unconventional, Baconspiracy, Target Audience, Too Much Stuff, Be Amused By Me, plus some bonus tracks, including When You Wish Upon a Death Star, plus Worst Tribute Ever. All of that on one USB drive, 2 gig drive, for $50 plus shipping. So go take advantage of that if you think you know someone you'd like to, you know, get them jump-started on their Luke Ski fan career, and they don't like physical CD. However, if they do like physical CDs and media and stuff, I also have a box set of albums, which includes the aforementioned Greatest Hits Volume 1, 2 CD set, plus Unconventional, Baconspiracy, Target Audience, Too Much Stuff, Be Amused By Me, the Tribute CD, Roto Ripoff Volumes 1, 2, and 3, and Bad Rapport Best of 2011 and 2012, and Luke Ski's Puppet DVD. All of that for $75 plus shipping. So that's a really another great way to jumpstart somebody's Lukeski fandom career. The Lukeski box set, $75 there. And finally, droid. And finally, something that maybe isn't necessarily for you, but something you could give to someone as a very inexpensive digital gift. I put all of the holiday themed songs of mine in one new album collection there digitally over at lukeski.bandcamp.com. It's the Fanboy Christmas collection. It's got 6 tracks, which is all 3 of the Fanboy Christmases, plus Christmas in Hogwarts, Black Friday, and the Star Wars Hanukkah song. It's 40 minutes of music for $4.99, you can send it as a gift. There's a little button there you can click to say, you know, send as gift or something to that effect there over at the Bandcamp page for that album. So if you know some nerdy person who doesn't know about me or my stuff and you think they'd like that as a gift, you could, you know, $5, boom, shoot them the album and all the joyous holiday season they will be having in their geeky little hearts when they hear the Fanboy Christmas collection by the great Lukeski, available at lukeski.bandcamp.com. So that plus worth mentioning, I threw When You Wish Upon a Death Star up there as a single as well, assuming, you know, you guys already have that, but, you know, in case anybody doesn't, it's up there for 99 cents too. Anyway, lukeski.bandcamp.com, please help spread the word about this sale. Please go take advantage of some deals while you have the time. And to those of you who have already ordered a whole lot of stuff, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. I wasn't sure how this initial launch and sale was going to go, but some of the bigger ticket items that I was offering for a limited time, they all sold, and I'm really happy about it. So, yeah. Anyway, moving on to what's Luke plugging now. Other things. The newest episode of Kyle and Luke Talk About Tunes podcast is up, episode number 5, and that one contains a conversation about Kyle and John Barry's webcomic called Frog Raccoon Strawberry. So they talk about the history of their comic, and then we break down panel by panel the guest comic I did for them back in October. So it's a little bit, you know, very eccentric to, you know, Kyle and John and the stuff that they did. So, you know, if you're interested in that, take a listen to it. I think it was interesting and fun. I hope you'll find it interesting and fun too. And then the next episode after that will be a kind of general, all kinds of random topics about cartoons that'll be coming out in another couple of weeks. I also made an appearance on a podcast called Rocket Radio. That's R-O-C-K-E-T-T, 2 T's on the end of the word Rocket. Rocket Radio. You can hear that at rocketradio.com, and you can look up Rocket Radio on iTunes. Again, 2 T's on the word Rocket. And you can hear me hanging out with Danny Rocket and reviewing Britney Spears' new album, amongst other things. So go check that out. Of course, there's always the Fumpcast, most recent episodes, number 181 and 182. 182 was recorded without me, so you can hear Devo and Tony Goldmark and Phil Johnson and a bunch of Tony's friends go crazy without me for a while. and finally, just another quick reminder of some of the conventions I got coming up in the relatively near future. There's RadCon, which is happening up in... Pasco, Washington, February 14th through 16th, 2014. That's radcon.org, RADCON.ORG. Pasco, Washington, RadCon 6B, February 14th through 16th. Sci-Fi 2014 in Chicago, Illinois. That's CHI-FI.org, Sci-Fi, March 27th through 30th, 2014. Attending that convention will be myself, Worm Quartet, Devo, Spice, The Gothsicles, Mark Gunn, and Rob Balder. Before that, obviously, I don't even really need to mention it, but I suppose I should, just to, for the sake of being, you know, thorough. MarsCon is happening March 7th through 9th in the Twin Cities, Bloomington, Minnesota. And who will be there? Guest of honor, Henry Phillips, Meet Morp Studios, special guest appearance by Dr. Demento, performances by Beth Kinderman and the player characters, Carrie Dalby, Devo Spice, and St. Ian, the Great Lukeski, Possible Oscar, Power Salad, TV's Kyle, Worm Quartet, and all the usual awesomeness associated with going to MarsCon. So MarsCon.com for the main website and MarsConDementia.com for the Dementia Track website.
And finally, I'll throw in one more plug, of course, for FumpFest 2014, FumpFest.com, Wheeling, Illinois, June 20th through 22nd, 2014. So much epic stuff happening there as well. But I'm not going to promote that as much right now, because I'm going to promote MarsCon. Anyway, finally, I want to mention the movie Brain Donors, which I discussed earlier, and you've been hearing clips from all throughout the show. It is available on iTunes and at the Amazon, what is it called? The video thing. Digital download video buy things from Amazon. Whatever the catchy name for that thing is that I forgot. Instant, that's what it was. Amazon Instant. iTunes. Speaking of Amazon, I just updated my wish list, so if anyone is trying to figure out what to get me for, you know, Christmas or my birthday, you can go find me at Amazon. My wish list is there. Luke Sienkowski, damn it. Anyway, but yeah, Brain Donors is also available on DVD, but apparently the DVD release was quite short because the ones that remain, people are asking, you know, ridiculous amounts of money before, like at least 30 or 40 bucks. So, you know, whatever. I have it on VHS. I'd like to own a DVD someday, but I'm not going to pay that much for it. Maybe it'll come out on Blu-ray. Who knows? But I think that about covers everything I wanted to talk about during the What's Luke Plugging Now segment. So thank you all so much. We now return you to the rest of the show. So, as we said in the previous episode, I believe it was, if you would like to hear the uncut version of episode 93, drop an email to badreport@gmail.com and say, hey, I want to hear the uncut version.
Because the cut version wasn't gross enough.
So, and we will email you the private link to get the uncut version of episode 93.
And hear all the grossosity.
And if you're one of those people who did listen to the uncut version and have, you know, additional comment or first comment, if you didn't leave one the first time, feel free to leave comments for a future, you know, leave it on this episode.
Or if you want to leave another comment for the uncut version or whatever.
Well, yeah, it would make more sense for them to leave them on these new episodes so that we can, you know, organize things better. So, yeah, just, you know, leave a comment for this episode, you know, about the uncut version if you have additional things to say or first things to say about that as well. Or this episode too, whatever. Of course, we want feedback, and now that we're doing this two episode at a time thing, we'll be dividing up the comments so that, you know, each comment we will be reading will be, you know, two episodes after, much like the way the Scope is handling things. And speaking of podcasts, I want to give a shout out to Blasted Bill again. I've really been enjoying the new episodes of the Pod of Destiny he's been posting. He posted another one today, which I haven't had a chance to listen to yet, so I'm looking forward to hearing that tonight when I drive out to Ed's, because I'm going to go out there in vain and hope to make some money, which I probably won't. But as they said in the Pirates of the Caribbean sequel, you get credit for trying. So, anyway. Anything else?
I only saw all of those sequels once. The first one was the best. Anything else? No, I like this new format. Let's keep doing it this way forever.
Okay. So anyway, please leave comments at badreport.com, BADREPPORT.com. You can also call and leave a voice message like Blasted Bill did at 916-LUKE-STI. That's 916-585-3754. And be on the lookout coming in the near future for Carrie Dalby's Kickstarter for her third comedy music album. It will be amazing. You'll be getting lots of prizes. Such amazing prizes.
Probably copies of the CD or...
autographed used diapers.
Or forcefully solicited caricatures from a friend of mine. or chibis.
Or you can get a song written and sung for you by Josh.
Oh, that's a good idea, actually. Okay, yeah, that's gonna be on there.
All right,
I'll let Josh know.
So until next time, I'm Luke.
And I'm Carrie.
And this has been Luke and Carrie's Band Report. See you all next time.
Chimney Christmas Eve, but who stepped out of my fireplace? I just could not believe it was the skinny, long-haired rock star type of.
like Axl Rose. He said, man, there have been some changes in the way this holiday's run. Now that I'm in charge of Christmas, we can finally have some fun. We'll sing heavy metal carols and keep the presents for ourselves. We'll send Slash to the North Pole and let his snakes play with the elves. It's an Axl Christmas, it's a hard rock holiday. So we're all singing welcome to the jungle all the way. We'll sleigh ride over Paradise City, and if we're feeling rude, we'll burn down all the Christmas trees and then we'll get tattooed. Now Axl didn't care about how Christmas used to be. He said, I just had Santa's workshop wired for MTV. Yeah, Rudolph tried my eggnog, so you know he's feeling fine. And remember Mrs. Claus, now she's a sweet child of mine. She said, no more free gifts, they want this stuff, they'll have to buy it. And if they try to take my picture, then we'll have a Christmas riot. I said, Axl, you are doing this all wrong by my deduction. You know, Santa never had this kind of appetite for destruction. It's an Axl Christmas, it's a hard rock holiday. So we're all singing welcome to the jungle all the way. We'll sleigh ride over Paradise City, and if we're feeling rude, we'll burn down all the Christmas trees, and then we'll get tattooed. It's an Axl Christmas, it's a hard rock holiday. So we're all singing welcome to the jungle all the way. We'll sleigh ride over Paradise City, and if we're feeling rude,
look, everybody, it's snowing outside.
Oh, gee willikers, what should we do?
Let's go sleighing!
Now grab your biggest carving knife and join me outside. The time of year has come again to take a little ride. The lights and decorations always guaranteed to thrill. Cause something in the season simply
makes me want to kill. The festive greed of rotting flesh, the gleam of splattered brain, and brilliant red upon the head and faces of the slain.
The festive greed of rotting flesh, the gleam of splattered brain, and brilliant red upon the head and faces of the slain. Golly gee, Trixie, you got them right between the eyes.
I know, Pinky, thanks!
Across the village, common, over hill and dale we go. There's nothing that I love so much as sleighing in the snow. We'll smash and crash and slash and gash before the morning light.
What fun it is to kill and sing a sleighing song tonight.
A festive grid of rotting flesh, the gleam of splattered brain, and brilliant red upon the head and faces of the slain.
The festive grid of rotting flesh, the gleam of splattered brain,
and brilliant red upon the head and faces of the slain. Oh, look, that one's hobbling away.
No worries, Zeke, I'll take care of this.
The village green is crimson, now the snow is pretty red. The happy folks who sang and danced and played are all
dead.
The air is cold and peaceful, the winter moon shines bright. So home we run to dream of sleighing fun tomorrow night. The festive green of rotting flesh, the gleam of splattered brain, and brilliant red upon the head and faces of the slain.
The festive green of rotting flesh, the gleam of splattered brain,
and brilliant red upon the head and faces of the slain.
Check it out. Fuck Rudolph, the mutt owes me money. Yep. Eminem faggot ass Easter Bunny. And Santa bitch, recognize the bite. Smoking on that North Pole, get right. What? It's middle of August, piping hot. Yep. And I'm here looking like Moondog Spot. Nobody thinks about old Saint Nick until they want some shit. I got your gift, a brand new hatchet. Let's see if your back can catch it. This year Santa Claus get reckless. Leaving your neck piece headless.
Tell us what you really want for Christmas this year.
What you want?
Shit, a hydraulic pump.
And what you want?
Four targets to unsink.
Family size bucket of chicken.
Merry fucking Christmas, ho ho ho. Got my axe wrapped up, bloody ribbons and bones. Santa hat with my name on it, cocked to the side. Fat sack of the pine tree so I can get high. Red bag full of goodies for the girls and boys. Like a 9mm fuck toy.
Fuck toy.
It's December 25th, baby, jingle my balls. Handing out yellow snow cones to all of y'all. This year I believe Santa Claus went crazy. Caught his ass slinging rocks to my old lady. Shitless old man thinking none of this shit. Happy Hanukkah, motherfucker, suck my dick.
Come and let us know what you want for Christmas time.
What you want?
Where's my fucking brother?
And what you want?
A big chocolate donut.
to win a fucking series.
When Christmas time, we will have all our fun and cheer. When Christmas time, we all will have much fun and holler cheer.
Ring a ding ding, go the sound of my sleigh bells. Reindeer fly crooked, cause they're drunk as hell. That's how we do when we got shit to do. After all this Christmas Eve and a fit to hook all these little witchy bitches up real nice. No singing Pokemon and fuck Ghostbusters. Fuck a four little Jimmy, Timmy get some hay. Yeah. Seven for Virginia, need a million for Kenny. Georgie, instructions for a seance. The same ain't getting shit, but two dead berries. And now it's back to the Southwest Pole. All Santa Claus got for Christmas was cold.
What do you want? What do you want? What do
you want?
A little pig gets your butt.
Craftsman socket set.
Everybody, tell us what you want.
Who else?
What you want?
Your mic and my gold fronts.
And what you want?
A ducky dick.
Everybody, tell us what you want.
A platinum plus plat.
Sinful Christmas.
Everybody, tell us what you want.
I tell you right now, what about the thing with the tube and the to for the boys to come over with the tube with the waves? It's like a hair 4 or 5 feet. Hunt him, not me. Not me. It was a 4 or 5 feet. It was crazy with that. I thought we could drive. We have a joke. Yeah, it's like a, like a. Yeah, fucking, dude, tell me a beer. you son of a bitch.
Hi, this is Blasted Bill, and I'm just listening to the 10th anniversary thing in my car of you and McCary meeting, and you guys started talking about that.
Buka de Beppo.
At MarsCon, and we most definitely went to.
Buka de Beppo.
You and Stephanie would not shut up about.
Buka de Beppo, Buka de Beppo, Buka de Beppo.
So we all gotta go to
Buka de Beppo.
And we, I remember when we were leaving.
Buka de Beppo.
There was a huge crowd there, and we were trying to part the crowd to get out. I was in the very back of all this, and I put my hands on the my then girlfriend Karen's shoulders and started doing a little chant. We're a bunch of weirdos, we're a bunch of weirdos, conga line style. And this went instantly up the entire line, and we were doing the conga, we're a bunch of weirdos, through
Buka de Beppo.
And that got us out of the door really quickly, and we had much fun and laughter upon that. So we most definitely went to
Buka de Beppo
in 2004. So thank you very much.
You're listening to Luke and Carrie's Balsa Wood.
Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Nobody knows my sorrow.
What's it all about, Alfie? Is it just for the moment we live? What's it all about when you sort it out, Alfie?
Jingle jungle, the mighty jungle, the lion sleeps tonight. In the jungle, the quiet jungle.
Visitors.
Maybe it's somebody with a recording contract.
Leave comments for this episode at badrapport.com or call 916-LUKE-SKI.